invite you now to take your Bibles and open them to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 16 through 21. 1 Timothy 6, 16 through 21. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Speaking of God now, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can hear, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. This morning we continue on our series with the meaning of life. And today we're going to discuss, why are you here? I wonder, what is it that you're really looking for out of life? That's a real probing question. What are you looking for out of life? Or what are you expecting out of life? Maybe more of a correct question for you. Some people find contentment with their lives and some people don't. And the reason they don't is because they're expecting things that life cannot deliver. They're dissatisfied. They can't be happy with life unless there are certain things that are changed. Really important things, like being taller or shorter. I always wished I was taller. And then whenever I got to be an old man, I even shrunk more. Doctor couldn't do me any good. I have straight hair or curly or more of it, depending upon which situation you find yourself in. And the important thing, I want some other hair color. That's all the important things that these people want out of life. They decide that being happy they can't be happy unless just life goes on just the way they want it to, despite the fact that they cannot act perfectly throughout their life. They want to have a life that doesn't have any stress in it. Can you imagine that? A life without stress? You know, I read one time, stress is how you find out whether you're alive or not. If you don't have stress, you're not alive. And that's pretty true. And what about concerns? They want no concerns. You've got to be concerned about something. Something. And they don't want to have to put out any effort. You're getting the drift of what I'm talking about here? The American Dream, as it's called, was first mentioned in a work called The Epic of America, written by James Adams, not the James Adams that we all think about, but he was James Truslow Adams, in 1931. And in this book, he stated that the dream is of a land in which life should be better and richer and fuller for everyone, with opportunity for each according to his ability or achievement. It is a dream of social order in which each man and each woman shall be able to attain to the fullest stature of which they are innately capable and be recognized by others for what they are, regardless of the fortuitous circumstances of birth or position. You didn't know the American Dream was that, did you? Thought it was a chicken in every pot, a car in every garage. Yeah, right. That's not really what it is. But the problem is, most people think that the American dream is getting wealthy and having a lot of possessions. You know, you've seen on the back of cars sometimes, on the license plate frame, he who dies with the most toys wins. Well, that's how some people live. They just accumulate and accumulate everything they possibly can because they think that makes them a winner. But that's what their life is. That's their whole focus. And there are some people who desire bigger houses or maybe nice clothes and so forth, but not the focus of your life. How about some people that chase after fun? You know, there's some people that only work so they can have fun. The only reason they work is so they can have fun. And if they aren't having fun, they're not alive. And that is their life. That is their life. Some use drugs and alcohol in order to cause them to be able to face the stresses of life. And, quite frankly, they just use these things to escape. They use them to get a distance between them and reality. But what else do we have to look for? Then there's always somebody who thinks that the American dream is to do whatever feels good at the moment. Do your own thing, they used to say when I was a kid. I don't know what they say now. May not want to hear what they say now. But anyway, do your own thing. You know, don't hurt anybody else. Just do your own thing. And they think that this will cause them to have a good life. Some want to be entertained. And this even it moves over into the religious realm too. They not only want to have entertainment available to them, and, you know, with how many channels on cable TV, which, by the way, every so often they just have the same program. They make you think there's a lot of channels. But anyway, or they want to go to the movies and have fun, entertainment. What are they doing? They're trying to escape the realities of life. No different than the druggie. No different. No different. But there are some who want to better themselves. They want to make a better life for themselves. And that's not necessarily wrong. They work hard, they study hard, put in lots of effort. But what happens? Sometimes they lose direction. Have you ever heard of the professional student? I know some. They never have decided what they want to do, so they just keep going to school and working substandard jobs to support their habit of getting an education. It's not healthy. Not healthy at all. Some get excited about something new, and they just can't wait till they get it. And not long after they get it, they don't have any use for it. They always want the newest thing. I know some people that are that way with cell phones. They just have to have the newest cell phone every time it comes out. Doesn't matter. It costs $600, $700. You know, they want the newest thing. And, of course, the phone companies are thrilled about it. But isn't that pretty much what we have in our society today, is people doing these things? That's pretty much what we have. They are having wealth and possessions today that couldn't even be imagined centuries ago. Couldn't be imagined. We have more ways to have fun than anyone can ever try in a lifetime. Absolutely. We have endless opportunities presented all the time on TV. Go to this school for 6 months and you'll be a genius. You know, well, that may work out for you. All they want is your money. And yet, why is our society so filled with people who aren't satisfied with life? That's what we come down to. Why are we filled with a society that is not satisfied with life? Well, I think there are some answers to be given to this. Useless pursuits. So much of what people see as important really isn't worth anything. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, we read the words of the preacher, and he says, "Vanity of vanities. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun?" That's a good question. Some people think, well, if I could do this, or I could do that, or I could do something else, I'd be happy. I'd have a good life. Well, I want to tell you something. Here's a man that tried it all. He's a man that tried it all. And let's see what he found out. Whenever he pursued pleasure, Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 1, "I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. But surely this also was vanity." Pleasure is only for a little time, then it goes away. It goes away. He decided he would focus on work. In Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 11, "I looked on all the works my hands had done and on the labor in which I had toiled. And indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun." What was he looking for? He was looking for the meaning of life. And he wasn't finding it in work, in pleasure. It just wasn't there. It wasn't there. But he thought, well, maybe if I get a good education, then I'll know the meaning of life. Well, look at Ecclesiastes 2:21. "For there is a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill. Yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it." What good does it get? Does it get you if you have all this knowledge and all this wisdom and accumulate all this wealth, because you're going to die and you're going to leave it for someone who doesn't appreciate it? All is vanity. And notice he says it's a great evil too, because you've consumed your life with it. You've consumed your life. Ecclesiastes 3:19 talks about living for the moment. We've talked about that, didn't we? People who like to live for the moment. "For what happens to the sons of men also happens to animals. One thing befalls them. As one dies, so dies the other. Surely they all have one breath. Man has no advantage over animals, for all is vanity." What's he talking about there? You're going to die just like your dog. I know, it's hard to think about that. Just like your dog. Or your cat. You're going to die. Now, in that sense, you are just like him. What assurance do you have of tomorrow? About as much as he has. About as much as he has, see? You cannot live for the moment. You have to look beyond the moment in order to really find the meaning of life. Well, maybe escapism would be good for a way to find the meaning of life. In Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 7, the wise man said, "For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is the meaning of life." Oh, no. There's not the meaning of life. He said, in all of this, there is vanity. It's a waste of time. But fear God. Some people sit around and dream, think about all these things, and come up with a lot of ideas, and they haven't found the meaning of life, have they? Not at all. Then, of course, we talked about this a little bit before, but I'm going to deal with it in this context. Wealth. You know, there's all kinds of songs about money can't buy happiness. You know, I love the one that says, but it'll buy a boat. And it'll buy a truck to pull it with. That's good. But money can't really get what you need to understand the meaning of life. Do you know that? You can have all the money that's in the world and miss the meaning of life. It'll go right by you. Right by you. Listen to what he says in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This is also vanity. If I could just close this deal, I'd be happy. Oh, there's another deal. If I could... You see how that works? You see how that works? That's not going to find the meaning of life. Oh, but if I could find something new, some new thing. Ecclesiastes 6 and verse 9, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of desire. This also is vanity, grasping for the wind. Oh, if I could just, it's just grasping the wind. It can't be. Cannot find the meaning of life. Well, some think the answer is endless youth. Now, I'll tell you, women and men spend a lot of money on this. You know, for a few bucks, you can get these bags out from under your eyes, get those wrinkles out from underneath here. And a double, triple chin, whichever you've got. You know that? And make your skin so tight. Of course, you look like you're always smiling. And they think that's going to make life better. Think that everyone is going to think, why, you are so young. Oh, well, let's see what he says about that. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 10, therefore remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Let's face it, you're going to get older. And if you're lucky, you're going to get real old. You'll be able to see another generation come and go. Isn't that wonderful? And you're not going to be able to keep your youthful countenance. That's a fact. The problem that people are trying to get something out of life, which it wasn't designed for, that's the problem. They're trying to get something that life was not designed for. It's like trying... And I know this is a weird analogy, and I wrote it down, and I thought, well, maybe not. But let's try it. It's like trying to bake dinner, which is a good thing, in your clothes dryer. Why not? It's got heat. You know? Well, it would be a mess, wouldn't it? And it's like eating your dinner with a pitchfork and a shovel. It's going to be a mess. And I love this one. It's like cutting your grass with the scissors. I actually saw my mom doing that one time. She wanted to get into the corner somewhere. She took scissors out there and cut. She was really meticulous. Loved her. It isn't, really, that life has no purpose. The problem is that people are wanting the wrong things for life. Let's look at the purpose of life for a minute. First of all, last week we discussed the fact that God put us here. And that's why we're here. But He put us here to enjoy life while we're serving Him. Now look carefully with me at Ecclesiastes 11:9. And I want to read into the first verse of the next chapter, okay? Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in your days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. In other words, you enjoy being a kid, but remember you're going to be in judgment and have to answer for it. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before difficult days come and the years draw nigh, that you say, I have no pleasure in them. Now look down in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 13 and verse 14. Okay? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. God will bring every work into judgment, including the secret things, whether good or bad. You enjoy your life. Enjoy the works of your hands. You know, that's not bad. But remember that you're coming to a time of judgment. And you need to act accordingly. And don't think you're going to get away with those secret things. Those things that only you, your computer, and Microsoft know. They may not be obvious to other people, but your computer knows it. And most likely Microsoft has got some information in its database on you. Don't think you can get away with the secret things. Now, what is a fact of life? This has got to be considered the purpose of life. A fact of life is we can only serve one master. That is a fact. Jesus, in fact, said that we are to no one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or be loyal to the one and despise the other. And the point is, you cannot serve God and mammon, which is the idea of God versus riches. Okay? You only serve one master. That will get you to the purpose of life for sure. And we also recognize that true happiness results when God's purpose is put first. Now, what am I thinking about here? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What things? Go back and read the text. Read the sixth chapter of Matthew. We're talking about food, talking about shelter, talking about clothing, all the necessities of life. You notice there are not extravagances in there. There's no 75-inch color TV in there. See? There's no big car in there. Just the necessities of life. We can be happy knowing God will always take care of us when we are serving Him faithfully. We know that God gives us laws based on the concept of love. Listen to Matthew 22:36, beginning. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, therein lies the core of the whole problem. Most people live with the idea that life is all about them. Yeah. Number one, it's all they're concerned about. And thus, they run into all kinds of difficulty and problems because they have not learned to love their neighbor as themselves. And they are not truly loving God with their heart, their soul, and their mind. God designed life to be about serving God and our fellow man. Getting into the purpose of life here. Getting into the purpose of life. But also, loving God means obeying Him. Now, this gets a little sticky for some people here. You say, well, I want to love God. I love God. But I sure don't want to obey Him. I mean, that would be difficult. But look at this. In John 14:21, Jesus says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Who? Well, he says, the one who has and keeps the commandments. Don't say you love God and then turn around and not keep His commandments. You must keep His commandments. His laws guide us in ways that make our life the best that it can be. Notice, he says in Deuteronomy 10:12-13, now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear your Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes which I command you today for your good. For your good. Notice that. God didn't give Israel laws just because He thought it'd be neat to see if they could handle it. No. He gave them laws for their own good. And they didn't keep them, of course. But God does this. He gives laws for our own good. Happiness comes when we choose to be content with life. A real important passage along this line is 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 through 10. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For He brought nothing into this world, it certainly we carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, therewith shall we be content. Now remember what I said. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, having food and clothing, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You see, that is the essence of what life is about. Be content. Be content. I don't mean that you're lazy and say, well, I got enough to eat for today and No, that's not the idea, because we read elsewhere that a Christian is to be industrious and so forth. But those who desire to be rich are the ones who fall into temptations and lusts. And it's a downward spiral. downward spiral. It could be that when we're pursuing the wrong thing, or we are pursuing the wrong thing, and then just when we get it, we lose it. You get that? When we are pursuing the wrong thing, just when we get it, we've obtained it, we have it, and then we lose it. Look at Luke 12 and verse 51. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life, we're talking about what life is now, one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, what shall I do, since I have no room to store this great crop? So he said, I will do this. I'll pull down my barns, I'll build bigger barns, and there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Life does not consist of abundance. But what are you doing with your life? Are you endlessly chasing things which will never last? Are you? How about giving some meaning to your life and serving God? That is what life is all about. All about. We all understand that we have a plan that God has laid down for salvation. We must hear the word. We must believe. We must repent. We must confess and be baptized. He who believes is baptized shall be saved. Simple as that. Now, what about you? What about you? Our next lesson in the series is, where are you going? We've talked about how you got here, why you're here. We're going to talk about where you're going next. And I hope you'll be with us for that lesson.